Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. Today I have one of my all-time favorite guests and good buddies, Pete Kostelnik, with me. We're going to talk a lot of things today, from what happens when the unexpected enters one's life and what Pete's been up to since then. But just as a quick background, Pete is probably one of the best multi-day runners that has graced the planet, has the record running across the United States, has done phenomenal challenges like running from Alaska to Florida, and just is one of the best runners I've ever had the chance to meet and support. But we'll talk about it in a minute. A little bit of the unexpected happened in the middle of the summer. And good news is that Pete's here with us, and we're going to dig into what's been going on in your life. Pete, how are you feeling?
Hey, Joe. Good to join you again. Feeling pretty good, I have to say. That's been kind of an interesting last few months for me, but got to be happy with the warm weather here in Tucson today. So all is looking pretty good today.
Yes. This is probably the perfect time of year to be in Tucson. You know, it's not too hot, but it feels comfortable to be out. Love that. Yeah. So I think we probably should just dive right into sort of what happened here. So, and I always put this in the category of the unexpected, right? Which is every day we're going along in our lives and we think everything's going to be the same the next day. And then just in a second, everything can sort of change. And so that happened for you as you were getting to do what you do really nicely, which is support other people. You're out at the Leadville 100. The next thing I see is some Instagram posts that like took my breath away. What happened when you were out at Leadville this summer?
Yeah. I was in Leadville in mid-August to pace my good friend, Tyler Andrews, a very, very notable ultra runner, and had done it the year before. So it was kind of like we got the band back together out there, and it was Friday night and the race starts at 4 a.m. So I think Tyler was probably already in bed. Myself, Scott and Connor, a couple of the other guys that were going to crew and pace for Tyler were in a car, and we had just gotten done with dinner and got picking up some last second groceries. And we were heading back to our little cabin at the campground, and we were just waiting for oncoming traffic. So I was sitting in the back of the car and Connor and Scott were in the front, and we were just about to turn into our campground and call it a night at about 6 o'clock. And we got unfortunately rear-ended really hard. We were basically stationary and the car was going about 60 miles per hour from behind, smashed into us, and we all got dinged up pretty good. I got the worst of it sitting in the back of the seat, back of the car. Next thing I know, I'm in the ambulance for the first time in my life. I don't think I've ever been to a hospital inpatient or emergency room, and was in the ER that night, got a CT scan and then another CT scan in the morning after laying there and not able to stand up. I tried standing up, I think, later that night and immediately blacked out because we later, 10 hours later, we found out that there was all the blood in my body was going to my pelvis area where I had a number of fractures. And really, it was just, all the blood was going there. And next thing I know, I'm on a helicopter to Colorado Springs to alleviate hematoma that was growing in my pelvis area, and then had to have surgery the next day on Sunday, and was in the hospital for 4 or 5 days, and then was able to discharge, got out of there back to Flagstaff where I live today, and was off my feet for 2 months, no weight bearing at all with all the breaks. And that was, so now I'm about 6 weeks back on my feet and walking a little bit more every day. And I gotta say, it's pretty amazing what the body can do to heal. Left side is a lot weaker than my right side, but optimistic that maybe at the end of the year here in about a month, I'll be maybe doing a little bit of walk jogging, but I guess we'll just have to see how things go.
Yeah. Wow. So you're a guy who has been with the multi-day running and some of the challenges you've taken on, you've gone through pain before, right? I mean, the suffering that comes with that. This was very different. I mean, like, I believe you broke many bones or in this process. How was it dealing with that kind of pain, sitting there trying to reconcile what to do with that? Sure, the first thing you're thinking about other than your life is, oh my gosh, will I ever be able to run again? Like, how was that initial first few days? How did you feel about all of that?
Yeah, it's strange because I think I've been really surprised that when I've dealt with things like this in life, like I never seem to get too, or maybe it's just like you're just kind of in a state of shock when it's all happening that you don't really kind of realize how like dire it is or how bad it is. There were a couple of moments there where it was, I think when they first told me that I had to get on a helicopter when I was in Salida, I think that was the most scared I've ever been. So I think the physical part, I just remember being in the hospital in Colorado Springs. And then it seemed like just about every 4 hours they had to lift me up and take me to another x-ray or another scan or whatever. And it was just, I think that was like the most painful part of all, is just like having people lift you just from one table to the next and just like freaking out. Like you just know that like something else is going to break or you're just so fragile. And that was really the scariest part as well, physically. But no, I think in some ways it's almost, I don't know. It's like, I think there's an element, and I don't want to, you know, get into why the accident happened. I'm still trying to figure out that part of it. But I think there's like an element of like, it was almost refreshing that something like this happened to me and it wasn't my doing. So like with sometimes with an ultra running, it's like, why am I out here suffering so long and doing this? It's all because I'm just like, I supposedly this is my hobby. So I think there was actually like an element of, wow, for once, like something bad happened, like something painful happened to me and it wasn't my fault. So like that was almost like the way to cope with it was, this was someone else's fault. And so like there was, I think there was, that was like a lot of what was going through my head that right after the accident and for quite a while I was non-weight bearing, was just the reassurance that like this wasn't my fault and that I'm just gonna have to deal with it. And that's actually, for me, kind of a good way to cope with things like this.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because of course, you have always used Instagram as a way to communicate with people. And when you first see the car and the pictures and your comments, have you, when you capture it in the moment, it's certainly significant, like, because you probably, we all can wash away a little bit of the pain. Like, yeah, it hurt and it was bad. But have you gone back and sort of like, because there's a lot in that beginning when you were, I think, worried about your own health. Yes, of course, getting on the helicopter is probably scary, but this unexpected moment and then what the prospects held for you and now how you've worked through that, making it into good rather than just a struggle. Have you done that? Have you gone back and looked at what you wrote when you first posted on Instagram?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, well, it's just kind of like a reminder to me, like, where you are one day is things are going to be so different. I think sometimes it's really easy to get caught up with, and well, especially with like when we were in COVID, like, well, this is the world that we're in and this is going to be the world. But it's amazing how quickly things can change when in situations, especially like this, where one day you're laying in a hospital bed, the next day you're going into surgery, the next day or 3 or 4 days later, you're getting discharged and you have to like all of a sudden like go to a new normal. But yeah, and so I think that was kind of one of the things that going back to look at that was like, man, that was just 3.5, like just over 3 months ago to think like from right now as we talk. So I think that's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a reminder that things can change rapidly for the better or worse. They can change. It was a split second. Things went from a fully functional human being that can, I can run 100 miles to basically being off my feet for a couple months all in a second's time. So that, yeah, that was, I think, kind of the interesting thing, I think, just looking back on like how quickly your world can change.
The other part in that beginning, which is, I think, a bit of a blessing too, is the amount of support that I'm sure you found for your circumstance and situation, whether it was your family or Lindsay or anyone else. Wow, everyone, it is fun to see in a good way how we do care about each other. How did that feel when everyone was coming to your aid and support?
Yeah, I think it was pretty overwhelming, to be honest. And I think, well, and that's another thing that kind of, I think I found in this whole process is like, maybe like I was like the only one that didn't like believe that I could come back from this. I think that's another thing that's very powerful as well, is like, well, geez, like everyone else thinks you'll be fine. So maybe you'll be fine as well. So yeah, I think that was a very cool thing that I've gotten to experience from people I haven't talked to in quite a while reaching out to me. Just, yeah, it was very overwhelming, but in a good way.
Yeah. I think it's one of the sort of there's two things there, right? One is you earned it because of the relationships you had, and then how humanity does come to our aid. Some days we see a world that feels awfully harsh and not caring, but in the moments of need, it is a very caring world. And I think most of us do have people like that in our lives who in some way feel like maybe they believe in us more than us and care about us more than we do. And are we appreciating that enough? I don't think anyone wants us to just walk around saying thank you, but yeah, having that experience and that dialogue and to see that no one's asking for anything is just a beautiful moment. You don't want to have to go through what you went through to find that out. But since you did, it was amazing to see. And I'm sure that you feel different now, 3 months later, even still, always will.
Yep. It really makes you kind of like think a lot more about things when you're sitting around doing nothing and you're able to catch up with people and really kind of think about it more than when I'm usually just kind of on the go, always busy with something. And here I am 2 months kind of just sitting around. And really the only thing to entertain me is talking to friends and catching up with people. I mean, you're stuck inside all day doing really nothing.
Very different than your 3:30 wake up calls to go run your early morning 20 miler that you were doing for a while there. I think it's been fun to watch. We've had this conversation before. Strava as a community tool is a beautiful thing because it's fun to see when your friends are out and where they are. Like, I always chuckle that everyone knows where I am because, oh, you were in Colorado this week. Oh, you were in Boston. Oh, you were in New York. Oh, you were here. Like, because they can see it from that. But there's that other part of Strava where, like, oh my God, I don't feel like I'm fast enough. But I think it's fun that you've done your countdown and you just started with sort of the life of one step. I was able to walk down the driveway.
Yeah.
It's been fun to document it that way, I bet.
Yeah, I was joking a little bit about Jenny Hoffman. She just finished her run across America in record time for the women's record. And it's been great because I've been able to, like, it's kind of funny how those things work, but I hadn't seen her in years. And then her family hosted me for the Boston Marathon. And then I saw her again at the 24 hours in the Dome in Milwaukee in June. And then when this accident happened, I went out and kind of scouted a little bit of the route that she was intending to take before we realized that San Francisco to New York was going to be the better option than LA to Boston. And so, yeah, it's interesting, but we were talking about
what we're trying to get to is that through this process, you've been sitting around and feeling a lot of stuff and people have been supporting you. And now you've been able to sort of get involved in supporting her as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, just like she had run 85% across America and got injured back in 20, and she was well ahead of record pace. And just like people support like her and something like this. And she was kind of the one that told me she was texting me while she was doing her run across America. And she mentioned, well, just like do something like on Strava where you like walk to the mailbox and things like that. And so that was kind of where like some of that inspiration came from as far as just going from zero to a little bit more each day. So that's been very rewarding to me to like have these little goals in the meantime, things that I would have taken for granted 3 or 4 months ago, but to just do a little bit more each day and have Strava be the accountability. Cause I thought a lot about things like Strava, of course, like you mentioned, like making sure that I'm running under a 9 minute mile pace when I'm doing like a long junk run or things like that. And it's like, I think I was kind of getting to the point before the accident, like where those things didn't really matter anymore. But I think now it's kind of even more like refreshing to get a new perspective of like when I do start running, I don't care if it's 12 minute miles, 13 minute miles, 5 minute mile. It doesn't really, I think in today's world, it's trying to use, there are tools that make it so easy to train like Strava and all the fancy gadgets that we have. But then there's also obviously the distraction aspect. So it's that's one thing I'm trying to get better at is not letting multitude of distractions keep me from using certain tools to my benefit. When I do start running again, I think I'll have a much better perspective of that as well.
Yeah, I think that it's a good, and first that was great that she made that suggestion, because I do think that this idea of just getting active and making progress is a great way to come out of anything, whether it's from the couch because you never did anything, or from an injury because that's what we have to recover from, or we're busy with work and we didn't get to do as much as we want. By not trying to pull the rubber band so fast that it breaks is a good way to think about recovery, generally speaking. So I think it's fun if you can turn it into where the tool like Strava is becoming fun for you. Like, oh, wow, tomorrow I'm going to do another 100 yards rather than, oh, my God, all I did was a half a mile. You can turn it around in your favor. And I think that's the mindset shift that is good. It doesn't mean Pete's still not going to take on big challenges. It's just probably with a little less probably drama in your mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like, it's funny, the things that you worry about each day are probably not the things that you really should worry about.
Right.
And it kind of makes you laugh when you step back and kind of think about like, what was I so upset about or what was I so worried about? It's like, nobody cares about that but you.
I always laugh, right? If you meet a person who's never done any of these and you were to give them your time, they'd be like, well, is that good? I don't know. Like, wrapped up in our community. But I think the other part, right? So then you were getting support, you're supporting Jenny, you're thinking about this as you go forward. So the 2 months or 3 months now, you're feeling better each day, which is also a good feeling, right? This is like, some days I always remember, like, if you get sick, it was like, oh, I just wish I feel better. But on the days you feel good, you don't say, wow, I'm really happy, I feel good.
Yeah.
And so we can't just always just take it for granted. We should appreciate it along the way. I'm sure you've appreciated feeling better, but now that it's probably stabilized a little, do you keep reminding yourself like, wow, this is amazing how I feel?
Yeah. No, because like about 6 weeks in now from being non-weight bearing, and yeah, there's definitely a little bit of a plateau. It's like, oh man, like my left side's so much weaker than my right side. So I'm like, some days I'm just like, man, I'm more sore than I was yesterday. Is there something wrong? But then I also have to like just remind myself, well, geez, like you couldn't even lift your left leg like at all 4 weeks ago, like laying on your side and doing like, or even like doing a side plank. You couldn't even come close to doing a side plank 2 weeks ago. And so, I think that's been kind of something interesting is I've never really been good at like journaling, and I haven't done it a ton lately, but I've done a little bit better of like being mindful of how many weeks it's been since I hit a certain milestone. And so that always brings me a lot of happiness to know like, oh wow, like I couldn't do any of these PT exercises that I've been working on with my PT guy in Flagstaff. And now without seeing him this week, I'll see him next week. And I'm just like excited to surprise him with like how much progress I've made even in like a week and a half since I'll have seen him last. And so I think that's also like, it's, and if I do start running again, maybe in the around the new year, I think just that will be very exciting for me because I haven't really been able to see when you've been doing this for a while. I think you kind of get burnt out because you're not seeing any progress, not, or at least not very much progress each day if you've reached a certain level of and you're running. And I think that was probably what I struggled with a lot before the accident is I kind of felt like I was like reaching for these goals up on this hypothetical mountain. And like when you've been like for 2-3 years, kind of like within sight of the where you want to be, but then like you kind of come down, you go up, you go down. And then like with this, I feel like it's kind of given me a chance to go all the way down to the base of the mountain and kind of like see the beauty of reaching certain goals again. And so when I do start trying to tackle them, I think I'll have a better appreciation for where I'm at in the process rather than just like, oh, it's another day. We'll just kind of wing it. We'll try, you'll put in 100 mile a week, but we won't really like have any purpose to it. I think I'll have a lot more purpose when I do start running again.
Yeah. And this appreciation for it. I always like to run in the morning and I've been stopping every morning now to take some picture of the surroundings, the sunrise or the surrounding area as this reminder of this sort of, I don't know, honor and privilege that I have to be able to get out and do that, to appreciate that I'm outside. And so if it's raining or it's cold or it's warm or whatever, it makes me sort of aware because I'm actually, for a good part of the run, I'm looking for like, oh, I wonder what a good picture would be. And so it's making me much more aware by just that sort of simple step, because I'm not really worried about the time. And so it's okay if I stop and take a photo. And then I have this like reel of photos. And I'm like, wow, just think about that. You know, it doesn't cost anything. It's free for all of us to do, but many of us don't have that. We're going too fast in life. We don't stop to take advantage of. We don't get outside. And all these things are there for us to take. And I think whatever way we can get to that moment and that appreciation of what this journey is about is just better. And so like for you, I'm sure you'll feel that every time. That first run will probably be both scary and the most exciting thing you'll have ever done in your life.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah, that's the thing. Like it's just kind of funny when I think back. It's like, I think I was like, I was getting better at what you just mentioned, like stopping and taking photos and taking things in. But I still think there was an element of stubbornness for me with a lot of that. And I think, yeah, I think if this accident had happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I probably wouldn't have. I don't think I would have had as much like wisdom or ability to deal with it as I do now, kind of having already dealt with certain things that don't go your way. I think it was, I don't know if you can ever be prepared to get in a car accident, but I think I was definitely ready. And then the things that I've been able to take advantage of in a something terrible like that has been really good for me.
Yeah. I don't know any of our journeys or something that's like predictable. I feel like it's great that you have in your own way, no anger about what happened, because some way you could say something was taken away from me. And instead you're sort of bringing this mindset that I got something from this. And I think that that's how we choose to show up on our life's journey, how we would treat other people. I'm not sure that it matters to your point, like why it happened or what happened. And I'm sure the person driving the truck had no intention of hurting anyone that day. That was not their intention. And so things happen in this life, and we just should stay away from causing pain in someone else. That does come our way. Then it's, I guess the Stoic philosopher said, then it's what we choose to do with that moment. That's really the definition of how our life's journey goes. Is if we choose to make it productive and positive, then it's productive and positive, right? I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like, that's what you're doing. Love that.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if someone meant to do something to you or not. If you let yourself down and don't do anything positive coming out of it, really, you're just letting them really do more to you than they already did.
Right.
So that's another thing I've kind of thought a lot about.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Well, I guess as a multi-day ultra runner, you had lots of time with yourself to think about things. So that's a skill you already had probably mastered, just with some different inputs in the moment, right? But when you're sitting there, there is a lot of time to think. And I guess only so much time one wants to consume content on TV or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I got pretty worn out pretty quick on content.
Yeah. There's only so many Netflix things one can watch before you're like, all right, fine, whatever. And so now, like, you tell us a little bit how you're feeling. Like, so now the first part, you were stuck in both, whether it was a wheelchair or something where you weren't able to put weight on yourself. Now you're able to walk around and get around. Is it, do you using any kind of device, a cane or a walker, or are you just able to get around yourself now?
Yeah. I was doing a walker for a while. And then also, like, when I go for a walk around the neighborhood, a lot of times I use trekking poles. So I have a good pair of trekking poles. So now I'm mostly kind of just doing without any assistance. It's left side with the left side. You lose so much muscle sitting in a chair for 2 months. It's amazing. It's like, I kind of estimated, well, the 2 months of sitting down, that's probably going to be at least 5, 6, 7 months, even on the like fastest time to, I'm trying to, like, my PT Brian, he's great. And like, we're trying to fast forward as much as we can with what exercises I can do to strengthen back up. But yeah, the walking's going pretty good. The bit of a limp, I would say, or actually quite a bit of a limp for a while. Now I'm trying to be as good as I can about getting rid of that limp as I can, where my left side just physically, there feels like there's maybe like a handful of muscle missing from my left, right around where the belt, right around my left waist hip area compared to my right side. So that's kind of the biggest drawback right now. Otherwise, it's just like, I really miss getting outside and just getting fresh air. And so just being able to get around has been great. And been trying to add 3 or 4 miles of walking a week. So I'm trying to stair step to the point where maybe when I can start running again, I'll need to run because I'm running out of time in the day to walk. Need to start replacing it with a little bit faster pace.
Yeah, I like that. The thing that I think it probably, when you run across the country, and you have some days where you still would like to have no pressure, meaning like, doesn't matter the speed that I go at, I just am having fun. And every once in a while, you get into that flow. It's just the movement that matters. And getting that sort of in your head now, I think through this process, is going to make it even better later on those days that you just choose to say, I'm just literally out here because I just want to be outside doing something. And doesn't matter. New skill.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the another thing that I think I realized when I did Alaska, when I ran Alaska to Florida, it was a very different type of run than running from San Francisco to New York, where San Francisco to New York was very, very similar every day, had a support crew the whole way. It was always like about the same mileage per day. And it was like really from about a third of the way into the run, it was all about counting down the miles and just really focused on the end, which you kind of have to do for a record like that. You really have to be focused on getting to the finish line. But for Alaska to Florida, it was, I kind of joked, well, I'm just counting up and then I'm going to count up until I can't count up anymore at the southernmost point in Key West. So here and there, I would add a mile or two to, because I ran everywhere. I didn't ever stake out for a ride or anything. So it was like, if I have to go get groceries, I might have to run an extra 2 miles here and 3 miles there. And so I kind of like just kind of enjoyed getting those extra miles in, where from San Francisco to New York is all about just being as efficient as possible, getting to New York City. But that, now I think that's like, I think that was maybe the thing I learned the most from that run from Alaska to Florida, was just like, I already knew before I reached Key West that like, that it's not going to, reaching a goal is great, but it's really the time you spend in pursuing it that to me is the most enjoyable. When I look back on it, it's not really reflecting on it, or you can celebrate for maybe a day or two, but that kind of gets old pretty quick.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and so I think with where I'm at now, like I'm kind of seeing it as, well, I got all these miles and progress to make from where I'm at, which it seems, you can look at it as, oh, I'm looking up this wall of trying to climb back up to the fitness I was in. But it's like, well, but I also get to climb the wall. So yeah, I think right. Also something exciting.
How much do you think that the training that you did has helped you over the past 3 months, sort of understanding that, hey, this is something I can embrace because I've embraced other hard things?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's made it a lot easier. I think when it's all said and done, this will probably be hardest thing I've ever done. If I was able to get back from zero to like doing, like, say I got Cocodona on the schedule. And so that's like, it's 5.5 months away. And so like, I'm sitting here really maybe able to walk a few miles a day. But I think that to me is the most exciting thing, is just knowing that I have all this between now and then. I have so much I can gain, versus if I was already in shape, then I wouldn't really be gaining as much. So that's like the mentality that I think I'll just have to go with. But I think also at the same time, it might have taken me 5 years versus what I want to do in 5 months. Back from 2011 to 2015 to get from starting ultra running to breaking records and winning Badwater and things like that. But I think if I could come close to doing that in not 5 years or 5 years, but doing 5 months, I think that would probably be also like the most rewarding thing I've ever done as well.
Yeah, it's so fascinating because, right, you in some way, right, you had hit some level of a pinnacle, right, in this multi-day running world. Of course, you still have a record and all of that. And so in some way, you say, like, well, I peaked in my life. Like, what could I do? I could go faster. And we had talked about you running across Australia. And like, but in some way, what you've found your way into is that there are other kinds of peaks that will develop in one's life, and that the trap isn't that, oh, I won a gold medal and that's the end and everything is down from there. That's a trap. And we want to name our thinking that is, for as long as we're here, we can have other kinds of peaks, and they just have to be defined in a different way. And I think that that's part of this musing about this before, this sort of transcendent feeling, right, which is this more deeper understanding of both purpose and mission and who I am as a person. And so who knows what other peaks you might have, like one day you're coaching someone to a win, not even doing it. And so it's like, I think it's just a great moment to realize that what we've always defined as peaks, like I always thought about, it's like if you win the Super Bowl 1 year, within a year, yeah, you're sort of still the Super Bowl champ, but then soon you're not going to be. So we got to just reconcile that in life and then figure out how else to enjoy, right? And
yeah,
these other kinds of goals.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like the one of the hardest things to deal with, whether it's me or Dave or anyone that's done anything crazy with there. Even if you like consider like running across America for a record is like your Mount Everest, or running across Canada, it's, when you get to that, it's like, well, there's always going to be a taller peak that opens up through the clouds when you get to that one. So I think that's something that also I've been like trying to think about, maybe do Australia someday. But I think there's also other things that for a while I was like doing the same thing. I was doing the same types of races for a number of years between after I did Run Across the US, I was fixated on certain fixed time records, like 24 hours and 6 days. And I kind of gave up on anything else. And I think it was kind of like what we were talking about with like, well, I could go do a road marathon and I could do a good time. I could do a 236, 237 marathon, but it's nowhere near the elites that are winning those races. But at the same time, putting the ego aside and doing things like that last year and this year, and just doing races outside of my comfort zone, like a Cocodona or a Mogollon Monster, was actually very refreshing, even though, as I'm sure Don could tell you, Mogollon Monster was maybe the biggest, most painful monster I've ever had to deal with.
Yeah.
I think that for me has been exciting as well, even before I got in the car accident, just knowing that you can do other things, even if no one cares that you're doing it. Like, well, maybe you'll like make someone's day if like they beat you at that race that you're not really that good at. And you don't have to like, it doesn't always have to be like you have to be the best at everything.
I think being the best at life, which you're learning now, is as important as in a specific activity and the authenticity that you'll bring to what you do. We need to celebrate more how we apply ourselves broadly, in not just in a single discipline, although it's great when people are great in a discipline, that it lasts for usually just a period of time. It does not last forever, no matter what we become the best at. And if you have a good life, you're going to live for a long time. I think this idea of lifespan and health span as a dialogue now in our community is a great one, which is to say, maybe we should be doing more now that would affect positively how we live later, that we're healthier for a longer period of time, that the life choices that we make enable us to still keep moving at 80 years old and play with our grandchildren and so on and so forth. So in that way, any specific peak sort of isn't as relevant as more of a, you know, balanced but also intense kind of person that we could be. And I think you're going to keep finding that with new challenges that you can take on.
Yep. No, it's all about attitude, I think. I think if you have the right attitude for anything, you might not be the best, but you'll do well.
Yeah. It's pretty good if you just get to the 99th percentile, right?
Yep.
We don't have to battle for that last 1%.
It's a big battle.
So, right? So you think about like, okay, so that for those who were listening who don't remember, but Cocodona 250 is a 250-mile race across Arizona through the mountains and the desert and all that. What are the things you're thinking about that you want to try and do? Like, is there a 5K that's your first race that you're going to go do? Or what's the recovery plan here?
No, it was a very weird step down process, I call it, from when I was in the ER, you know, way back before I even knew how bad the injury was. I remember texting my friend Lori, who is going to crew me at Spartathlon, which was a couple months ago now, obviously. But this was about a month before Spartathlon. I told her, all right, Lori, you did Badwater. I remember you doing Badwater when you're on a broken foot. So maybe I'll do one with a month off from running and just kind of wing it and just try to finish. And then after fast forward 4 or 5 days after surgery and sitting in the hospital, obviously that wasn't going to be on the plate. But then it was things like, well, maybe I could like come back and do a 100-miler in Jackpot in Vegas, do that again in February. And then it was like, No, that's not going to happen. And then there was like, well, I could do a marathon in Texas in March. And then I was like, no, that's not going to happen. So then it was like, well, what am I signed up for? And so the only first thing I was signed up for, really the only thing I was signed up for in 2024 is Cocodona in May. And obviously I DNF'd last year and it was going to be all about, well, I'm moving from Phoenix to Flagstaff. So this is going to be like my pre-move literally from Phoenix to Flagstaff. The race starts in the north end of, basically the north end of Phoenix and finishes in Flagstaff, 250 windy mountainous miles later. But now it's like, I was joking with Jamil, who's the kind of head guy at Air Vipa this weekend. And he's like, well, we can give you a deferral. You don't have to like, feel like obligated to do Cocodona, but it's, I think having it on the calendar, even if I don't even end up doing it, or even if I DNF the race again, I think has been very just rewarding for me, because it's like, I know how, obviously DNFing that race, how grueling it is. And just thinking like, well, man, what, like it, I have to, I can't waste any minutes or hours or days with getting back my strength. So it's really been kind of, even though it's 6 months out, it's been a very, I think, good thing to have it on the calendar, regardless of if it even happens or not. But yeah, I think definitely it can be dangerous sitting in place for a couple of months, because it's given me a chance to kind of think about a lot of different things I want to do in the coming year and really 2 years.
Yeah, that's good. Well, for all the studies that are done on dopamine, this sort of neuro, it's actually, it's the motivation. It's not the reward. It's the incentive to do. It's the feeling like that. And I think everyone's coming to this conclusion, which is like, if you put a vacation out in the future on your calendar, it's more exciting just thinking about it than it is actually just going on it. And so when we put these races on our calendar, that is a reward system just in and of itself. And so you're going to get a real benefit from that, because you're working with your system, which wants to be satisfied in that way. And so, yeah, I encourage people, like, it doesn't, like, we can drop out, or we don't have to do, or, but knowing that there's something into the future, it's like why I named the podcast Chasing Tomorrow. It was always this leaning into the future. It's not to say that we're running away from anything, but it's actually just for the benefit of us to have something to look forward to that makes us conscious that we're not just passing along on time. So I like the idea. And having
and so I've noticed that there for a while, I was kind of doing like the same races or the same types of races year over year. And it's just like, well, okay, we're going, like, it's nice to have things that are kind of like your, not necessarily comfort, but like your familiarity with a certain race and then the people that usually do it and kind of like a reunion. But then I also found that, like, if I was just doing the same things, like, it's really hard to get excited about something that you've done a lot in the past. So I think just over the last couple of years, sprinkling in things that I haven't done, I think is also very exciting, because then you, it's because it's kind of, it's scarier when you put something on the calendar that you've never done and it's a new skill set. And so I think that's also been something I'll think a lot about as well going forward, is sprinkling in new races, new types of races and different experiences that get you more excited about showing up ready for it, rather than just like something that you've done before and you kind of like in the back of your head, you think, well, maybe I can just wing this one as well.
Yeah, I found that each year to set out some, whatever the objectives are, so this accountability model to ourselves as well. Like, hey, Pete's holding himself accountable to whatever he decides. And then you show up better in life because you've done that. Because then if you commit to something else, you know, others will know that you can follow through on that. And so, yeah, it's fun. And being a back of the packer is just as good as being in the front of the pack. It's just about getting out there and living. And so now as you head into the holidays, just to make fun, but like, are you trying to eat less because you're running less?
Oh, it's so hard. Well, it's funny because I think when I'm training a lot, like 20, 30 mile days, you almost feel like you just eat all the time. Like, well, you're just like always hungry. And it's like, and then to go into a much more sedentary lifestyle for a while, you're just like, you have to like remind yourself to eat. So it's, yeah, it's unfortunate that, gosh, like I always feel like I wish there could be like a big feast holiday, like, I don't know, in the middle of the summer when I'm really putting in like big training miles. Usually this time of year, runners, a lot of times we're winding down for the year and it's not the best time to be indulging as much.
Yeah, no, it's sort of funny. I think that there's some balance to that, but I'm sure that you'll, once you get back out there, the thing that you're right, I mean, because you, while you did have a lot of serious injuries, they're all recoverable. And so all that system that made you good at what you did before will come back again. And so that's encouraging and exciting to know that. So it might be different, but be able to, for anyone who doesn't follow Pete on Strava, you should, because it's always fun to have seen like, oh my gosh, he got up at 4 o'clock and ran 20 miles this morning. And then he went and did another 10. You're like, I ran 30 miles the whole week. Someone says, like, he ran that. So it was always fun to see your adventures, because I do think you had that adventurous spirit in terms of what you challenge yourself to do, right? It's always fun to watch.
Oh man, yeah, I love, well, I think half of it is I love talking about it too. Like, I've been talking to Dave a little bit more about Dave Proctor about adventures and things. And I think that's, I don't know, doing, you definitely want to do it. Like, you don't want to just like sit on your butt and say you're going to like do something someday or like dream about something, because then there's really nothing to it. But I think that is part, I think that's a lot of the fun for me, is just thinking about what adventures are out there that no one's ever done or that you could do. So that's been very, very helpful over these last few months as well.
Yeah, I've been trying to dream up some stuff for next year. I had a call with one of my buddies, actually lives pretty close to where you are. And it just, the creativity, part of what I've really learned is that you can just get good ideas. You don't have to do what someone does, but like there was this example where, you know, he starts at the top of the Grand Canyon, they do some canyoneering down to the bottom, they bring a pack raft, they pack raft down part of the Colorado, and then they hike their way over to Phantom Ranch for this like 18 hours. You're just doing this like epic day that they just made up. It's yeah. Like, wow, that sounds like a fun adventure. So for all you listening, we can create fun adventures and just get out and use that imagination and we'll see where it takes us, right? Because it's always going to be fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got to say, with it being Thanksgiving week, and it can be something simple that's not even that, like even someone like me doesn't have to be too active all the time. But for, I think it's been about 25 years now, not 25 years, about 20 years. My friend back home, I'm usually back in Iowa for Thanksgiving, and we always do a canoe trip down the Des Moines River the day after Thanksgiving, because we call it the last ones on the river, because half the time there's like ice and things that we have to chop through. And so, yeah, it just things like that that are like, you know, you can kind of hold dearly. And so I'm definitely sad I won't be able to do that since I'm in Arizona this year, but definitely next year, hope to be back in Iowa and do that with him. And it's an adventure every time. There's always something different each year. But it's kind of like the thing that we dreamed up ourselves, and it's kind of always been there for us every year.
Well, it looks like there's a lot of chasing tomorrow in your life, Pete. It's been great to catch up. I'm thrilled you're feeling better on the road to recovery here. I'll probably try and join up with you in the middle of your recovery so that I can run at your pace, because that's a nice slow pace, and ready to support you at Cocodona if you go do that. But we'll stay in touch and keep inviting you back, and we'll watch your progress and the challenges that you take on. So, and I know this will post Thanksgiving, but happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and just awesome to have you back on 2 feet, right?
Yep, absolutely. No, it's been great to catch up with you, Joe. Thanks for having me on.